On the phone, I've got Noel Smith. Good morning.
Good morning, Aaron.
So, Noel, you are a current district councillor, but you're running for regional council at this local body election. Do you want to tell us about that decision first up?
Yeah, well, I've done 15 years as the local ward councillor here at Te Kauwhai, Whareawhare and Rotokauri. But after 15 years, I've done what I think I can do for the ward, and I believe it's time to step aside to allow others to take the baton. However, the regional council, I think there's some challenges there. We've all seen what's happened in the last 3 years, and this current ward of the regional council, which is the Waikato district, has not been getting heard around the table sufficiently, I believe.
Okay. What are the reasons do you think that our area hasn't been heard sufficiently?
Oh, look, I'm the reality is that Fred hasn't been at the table, and he needed to be. I've got a lot of respect for Fred. He's got a huge contribution into the Raglan community. But I think the regional council, I asked a few friends when I was thinking about this. I said, yeah, what is the regional council to you? And they said, well, we pay rates to them, but really don't know what they do. And to me, that's an appalling state because of the ability of the regional council to support the communities.
Yeah, I spend a lot of time on the radio explaining that there's a district council and a regional council, otherwise they have the same name. Yeah, it's kind of like even knowing that the council exists, I think it's a bit of a challenge. I mean, I guess with the controversy that's happened over the last couple of years, people are now aware of it. I don't know whether that's a success, though, or do you have a perspective on that?
Well, it's made an awareness that there is another council. But, yeah, in simple terms, the regional council looks after the environment, the air and the water, and the district, the land. And the reality is we've got to work together, the two councils, for the support of the community, because one without the other, it leaves gaps. And I think people have a confusion, as you say, when the regional council changed their name from Environment Waikato to Waikato Regional Council, that immediately brought about a lack of understanding of what's really going on.
Yeah. Hey, Noel, something I like to do as well is just, for people who don't know you, is just to introduce yourself a little bit. Tell us a little bit about your life, your work life, and a little bit about the family, just so people kind of get a feel for who you are.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I started off life after school as a police cadet and spent 14 years with the New Zealand Police working in Auckland and the Waikato. For a time I spent, when John Gower left Raglan, I was the person that relieved out there while they put a new person in.
Oh, yep.
And after leaving the police, I went to the Ministry of Justice and became the district manager for the Waikato, King Country and Coromandel, and after that I retired again, as I did after the police, and went on to the farm. And I've been farming here at Te Kauwhai for 40 odd years with the beef cattle, and I decided one day to put my hand up for the district council. Thought I could do a better job than what they'd been doing, and I've spent 15 years, and I've been very happy with what I've contributed. So that's very simply about me. I've done a lot of things along the way. I'm currently the president of the Waikato JP Association, so really community-minded, and helping build the Te Ara Manui walkway here at Te Kauwhai. So, yeah. Anything else you'd like me to expand on? Happy to do so.
I'm actually interested. And normally, I ask people if they're how aware of the rest of the district they are, or the constituency in this case. And I guess over the 15 years, like we've seen you out here in Raglan doing submissions or accepting submissions for the Coastal Reserves Management Plan, for instance. So have you got out and got around most of the district over the last 15 years?
Absolutely. Alan Sanson, our current mayor, has asked me 4 years ago with Axel Beck, the current deputy mayor, to lead the Blueprint Program. And that involved going out into the communities, our major towns and villages, to seek the aspirations of those communities. And in Raglan, for example, we get alongside Raglan Naturally and the people there. And so getting out into those communities, which basically went up the river, right from Raglan to Whareawhare to Kauwhai, Ngarawahi, and up through Huntly to Tuakau in the end, And now we've just gone out to Port Waikato. So been engaging with the community on that base. I've been an RMA commissioner, so I've gone out into the community and developments. I'm currently doing the chairing the district plan appeals, which is all the rezoning of the district, and that's taking me out into the community to look at locations and what the appeal points are. So certainly had a huge engagement with the community and the whole district. So, and in my policing days, I served in Huntly and Great Area. So I've got a very good knowledge of what's going on, where things are at. You're very fortunate on that area.
Can we just leap into the district plan? If you're working on that at the moment, that's presumably running through over the election.
That's right.
So do you stay as a commissioner in a situation like that, or what happens?
What happened? Well, that's really for the new mayor. Yep. There has been some discussions with a couple of the mayoral aspirants because they are on the committee with me. That's Axel Beck and Jackie Church. But the reality is that it's entirely over to the mayor and the new council as to who remains. And look, if I was elected to the regional council, I don't think it's appropriate that I stay on if I'm not elected, which I hope not to be the case. Then, with half, possibly even over half, a new council at the district, there is some suggestion that one or two of us could stay on as independents to assist with that process because they've got knowledge of the whole process.
Yeah. So back to the blueprints, because I think this will tie in a little bit to the regional thing in a moment. Is that something quite new for councils to do, or is it just new around this part of the world, or what do you know about that?
It is reasonably new. One or two others have done it. But when I came onto council 15 years ago, I asked what our strategic directions were, and I was told it was the annual plan and the long-term plan. And the reality of the long-term plan was basically council staff coming up with some plans, going to council. We put them out to the community. Community wanted to do other things. They came and made submissions, and we said we didn't want to increase the rates, so we wouldn't do what the community wanted. We'd do what the staff wanted. Mm. And that was really arrogant, and I just advocated for so long. And finally, we've got enough people around the table that we went into Pocono, actually, in the new town centre there, and brought in external consultants. And it was seen the benefit from that exercise that we could go to other communities and ask for their input. So that has been a real change, and we've been working, and we now have some of those aspirations funded in the long-term plan, or we're partnering with other groups. So it really is, you know, we're finally, the district council is listening. And that's one of the things that I think is important that I can try and advocate for around the table in the region, is that we need to be seeking more from our communities of what they expect from us, rather than telling them in an annual plan or long-term plan process.
Do you think the blueprint idea is applicable to the regional council?
It's not, because that's about placemaking. That's about local infrastructure, assets and the like.
Yeah.
But it's possibly the principles involved about going out into the community as councillors and seeking and drawing out what that community's expectations are. You know, like we've got Raglan, you know, there's the harbour, and the district council has just been working with the community, on the Whangaroa Harbour strategy. Mm. Now, that's great, and that was signed off by the Strategy and Finance Committee on Wednesday, endorsed at the district council. But I think there's some work in there that will need the regional council support.
Yeah.
So, you know, where initiatives like, and this is where I see the breakdown at the moment between the district and the region, we haven't worked well politically, and we need to cross that divide and support. There are regulatory processes that the region can stand aside from, the district, but we should be working together for the benefit of our communities.
Do you think that's a bit of a problem with the structure, that regional council and district council are so distinct and separate, and that like it's up to, I guess, the councillors and mayors and chair people to find a way to work together, but if they don't, and there's nothing to force them to do it, like, do you think a better structure is due?
Well, actually, the 28th of October, the government is going to release the local government review, and I am predicting that we will see some probably unitary authorities created, and that's my crystal ball. If I'm right, there'll be major changes, and it'll be like Auckland if people there's not separate councils up there with a regional council over the coming over the top and making environmental rules and everyone getting upset and whatever. I just think that's potential. But you know, look at the example we've used with between Waikato District and the Hamilton City. We've had a cross-boundary committee with the two mayors and three councillors, of which I've been fortunate to be one, where we have sat together regularly for the last 4 or 5 years, and we've done cross-boundary issues as if the boundary didn't exist.
Yeah.
And you know, that's worked out extremely well, and we've put things in place where if it's better to be in the city or if it's better to be in the district, so be it. Forget the parochialism. Let's do what's best for the community. And I think working with the region, I think all the territorial authorities need to have a better relationship with the region. And that can be done by people who have the experience in the district, and particularly if there's local government reform, as I suspect. You need to know your district extremely well.
I imagine there's been times in the past where a district council has said to the city council, well, the city council's gone, we need more land to be incorporated into the city, and the district council's like, well, we don't want to give up our land.
Fortunately, that was one of the big issues that we dealt with in this term. And but 18 months ago, I think it was, maybe 2 years, we sat down with the city, and it took us about a year and a half to get to, but we worked up a principal document. And we can now, without any argy-bargy, the city is about to trigger a request to move land across. And we've got three areas that that could go, and that's surrounding the city. And once the city actually does that, that will then foreshadow a local government process which will transfer land from the district to the city for their expansion. So, but that's been negotiated, it's been consulted on, and so we've got rid of the politics out of it. We've done it for the right reasons.
Well, that's what we want to hear, really.
Stuff that we
haven't been happy to hear about is unless you like the excitement of it, is the controversy with the regional council. You're running for regional council, and I've been talking with all the candidates about this. I wasn't even fully aware of it. I'm becoming more and more aware of it. I wasn't aware of the whole scope, but we have councillors threatening each other around the council table by the sounds of it. I'm assuming you're going to say that's not really acceptable, but just how unacceptable is that, and what can the other councillors, or should other councillors, be doing about that?
Bullying's not, and I can never condone bullying, or I'm not in the tent. But yeah. I've been fortunate in that a number of the current councillors and potential councillors have contacted me, and I've met with them, and we've had some discussions, and I think some of those probably should stay in-house. But the reality is it's not acceptable, and we're all looking, if we get around the table, to have some pretty strong protocols set out. I'm the first one to engage in robust debate, but it's the issue that you get into. You don't get into the people. So, it's not acceptable in any form, any threats of violence or whatever. Gosh, I used to be in the police and lock people up for that in the good old days. But, it's, in the heat of politics, people do lose it, but you've got to stand up and say sorry. But you've got to learn from that, and if you don't learn from it, there are consequences.
So some of the discussions that we've been having about the regional council as well is, and we were in a situation where we talk about environmentalism versus farming, and that's and in a lot of ways that's not a very helpful way to frame the debate, but that's the way it's kind of gone out there. And I guess where am I going with this? The farmers have been asked to put through a lot of regulatory changes or deal with a lot of regulatory changes. It's possibly too much for them, but also we've got scientists saying they just need to happen. Is this a problem that can be solved at regional council, or is this something that you'd want to see government come and actually help out with?
Well, interestingly enough, I am a farmer, and I farm on the Waipa River, and I've got the Mangaheka stream, which comes out of the Te Rapa subdivision in where Porters are at the north of Hamilton. So I've got water coming out of the city through my land. I've got the Waipa River. So I'm very aware of the issues around that. And, you know, 40 years ago, before it was fashionable, I fenced all the waterways. So I think I was ahead of the game back then. Mm. But the reality is we need to protect our waterways. We've got to have healthy waterways. I was a sceptic, but the reality is something is happening, and whether you call it climate change or, you know, whatever, but let's just accept it as climate change. It's just the right thing to do, is to not pollute our waterways, to have the appropriate programs, planting regimes. You know, we've seen what riparian planting and margets can do in wetlands. It's a balance, and I've said to a number of farmers, you know, just get on with it. You need to get on board. And look, I stopped using fertilizers probably 15 years ago, and I backed off the product, the number of cattle on this place. But my production now is higher and better without fertilizers. So I'm not saying it suits everybody. I get natural fertilization from when I get floods on the river. But, you know, there are alternative ways that we can do things that are better for the environment. I'm not sure that I've probably answered all of the question, but you know, I'm pretty strong on we as individuals can make a difference.
I think I made it a pretty complicated question.
But you know, there are farmers who have properties that are seemingly impossible, but it's a matter of changing your farming practices to do the right thing. But, you know, don't bankrupt yourself, you know. And the community out there who are saying, you know, stop farming in New Zealand, I'm sorry, I can't accept that. There are ways in which we can farm that are better for the environment, better for, you know, the community, and for farmers to exist. And you, if you take farming away, you know, if you go to cropping, and people have talked about that, but cropping needs machinery. You've got, you know, carbon dioxide going into the atmosphere. Whichever way you look at it, so it's moving to right practices rather than just blanketly getting rid of everything.
So yeah, I think that the thing that I've looked at, like I'm not involved in the farming community at all, but I can see that I know that especially a lot of young farmers are like everyone who owns a piece of land or owns anything these days got a lot of debt. There might not be a lot of capacity for them to make changes. They could be, you know, running from dawn till dusk through parts of the year, just because they're so busy. Like literally, I know farmers literally run around some of the time just to get everything done. I'm thinking we need central government to come in and actually, if we want to do it as fast as the scientists say it needs to be done, does central government need to be putting some money there?
Yeah, and it's interesting. You know, as a district councillor and potential regional councillor, my concern is that government needs to be putting money in, and people keep saying government needs to do this, government needs, but where are they going to get the money? It's going to come from us, you know, as taxpayers, and they've already spent so much on the COVID response that our children and grandchildren will be paying for that. And I'm not criticising, that response was needed, absolutely. The reality is government can't continue to do everything without taking money from people. And it's a matter of, I think we've got to get it out of the political agenda and actually get everybody on side. But at the end of the day, if it's a political decision, well, yeah, let's get to it sooner than later and don't muddle along.
There does seem to be sort of conservative forces in the community who just want to stop any kind of change. Yeah. I mean, have you talked to people in that kind of on that kind of vibe and how do the conversations go?
Reality is I haven't really experienced that. People that I've met are very positive. The naysayers, I haven't really got an experience of it, to be absolutely honest, and I'd rather not make something up.
No, I'm not asking you to do that. I'm thinking of like when Plan Change 1 came through the regional council,
right,
and that was about riparian management, and there were people arguing successfully, I think, to put the fences just a bit too close to the streams to actually for riparian management to be effective. And I understand that's now gone to the Environment Court, I think. So there must be people out there who are trying to slow things up a bit, I guess.
Oh, yes, there is. And look, I listened and said I submitted against PC1 insofar as there were aspects like they're using a product called Overseer to determine some of the calculations and whatever, and that tool is not fit for that purpose, and that's been acknowledged. But, you know, like, I fenced my waterways in about 1981, that it was, and we came back just over a chain from the then river edge, and triple planted trees along over a kilometre of the river.
Yeah.
And then I fenced the streams, and because of the topography and the level of rise with the streams, it came back up to 12 metres from the creek edge, because, and then did some planting. So when people are saying, no, you got to take it to the top of the bank, and if that's only a metre from the waterway, well, that doesn't filter the sediments and so on. So I think they were being ridiculous in saying that, you know, you got to go to the top of the bank. Environmentally, that's not the right thing to do, in my personal opinion. Mm. And look, I don't see myself as a greenie, but I see myself with a touch of green in me. Yeah, I'm here for my children, my grandchildren, and future generations. It's not about the high production right now. It's about what's doing best for the longer term. And I think people have got to take that longer term view.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, look, folks, we're talking to Noel Smith, current district councillor, looking to move to regional councillor at the next election. Noel, do you have your quick sentence about tell people why they should vote for you?
I think the issue for me is that leadership, experience, and accountability is key, and I bring that experience with my knowledge of the district and my connections with various groups and communities, and so I think that I'm the right person to go into the regional council on behalf of the Waikato district communities.
All right, Noel, well, look, thank you for your time this morning, and good luck for the rest of the campaign.
Thanks very much. Appreciate the opportunity.